Breakfast with Bongani Bingwa, live from Wits University, listening to the voices of South Africa's young voters.
That was the song that was sung as many student leaders in the anti-apartheid struggle sang as they were leaving behind the shores of this country. It's an iconic struggle song from the 1960s. That was the mood then. That's what young people were thinking and feeling then. Fast forward to all these years later in 2019, 20 days before we go to the polls, 4.5 million young South Africans simply say they're not interested in the political protest. They feel disaffected. They feel excluded. Do then they have a right to complain? Do they have to criticize when they won't participate in the electoral process? We'll take your calls on this on 011-883-0702. More broadly speaking, I want to know, have we failed our born frees? Has the last 25 years of experience under a democratic government delivered so little that we've moved from the heights of the struggle with young people leaving their families, leaving the country that they knew to go and struggle and help bring freedom to this country, to young people who some people might say are disinterested or even apathetic? What are your thoughts? 011-883-0702. I'm joined now by Kyle Mayoko, who is, of course, part of the student command of the EFF here at Wits University. Kyle, good morning to you.
Morning, sir. How are you?
I'm well. Just speak directly into the mic exactly as I'm doing.
Okay.
So you're here. You're on the SRC. You're a representative of your political party on this campus.
Okay.
Many students we've been speaking to, and young people more broadly, are saying no party is speaking to them. Why do you think the messages of political parties are simply not resonating with most of your peers?
I think that the youth, especially in campuses and around like our communities in South Africa, is that they are facing the issue that they are unemployed, they have degrees and they are graduates. And the ANC has neglected the youth for the past, 25 years in their governance. And also looking at the issue of students not having funding in universities and accommodation. There are still students who are unaccommodated and whatnot. So actually, the youth of South Africa, why they don't believe in voting currently and different political parties.
Well, it's not just an ANC problem. They're not listening to your party either. I mean, the EFF would pride itself as being a party that has notable support amongst young people. But even there, a lot of young people are saying, actually, no, we're not interested in what you have to say either.
Okay. Many people are disinterested because of the fact that, especially with voting, many political parties come and claim, and after getting into parliament, they forget about the things that they were promising the youth of South Africa.
So that's why many young people are uninterested in the political protest. All right, we'll leave it there with you, Kyle, but I'm taking your calls on 011-883-0702. We also welcome your WhatsApp voice notes on 072-702-1702. Let's talk to Macmillan. You're somewhere in Johannesburg. Now, you're a political studies postgrad student. What do you want to say?
Oh, yes. Good morning. Yes, I am Macmillan. I'm around Johannesburg. I was speaking to Andy earlier. We were talking about the issue of accommodation at Wits. There are some students sleeping in the libraries and computer labs. And although Wits has done more towards meeting those students in need, I believe that there could be more that could be done, considering the fact that the ANC has faltered in providing enough funding for students at Wits.
So you want to make it an issue of funding?
Yes. That's the issue I believe that we should be tackling right now. Because why we have students living in libraries and computer labs is because there is a lack of funding. They cannot afford to pay for accommodation, and Bramfontein is very expensive.
All right, we'll leave it there. Macmillan has raised the issue. I mean, it's an ongoing it's a concern that's been raised consistently. Access to higher learning, particularly not just being able to attend courses, not being able to just go to classes, but also everything that's involved with being a student, accommodation, food. All of those things are obviously pressing issues for many, many young people. We're at Wits if you've just tuned in. We're broadcasting 702 Breakfast from Wits. We're calling it hashtag 702 Campus Takeover. We're speaking to young people, and I particularly want to know why so many are feeling disappointed in the political process. Have we betrayed or at least failed our Born Free?
Breakfast with Bongani Bingwa, live from Wits University. Listening to the voices of South Africa's young voters.
Anthony, you're in Johannesburg. You're saying you voted in the referendum. I'm assuming this is what, 1992 you're referring to?
That is 100% correct. And I voted because I felt that equality was equal and people needed to be believed. And, you know, apartheid was wrong. And I voted because I felt that at that time it was the right thing to do. And there was hope for the ANC. And I really, there was prospects. Everything was great. We thought, you know what, we're going to be a democratic country where everything is going to be great for us. And here we are 25 years later. The ANC has done absolutely nothing for us. Disillusioned at age 55, a white male, to try and get a job from somewhere is almost impossible, unless you've got really good skills and you really want it somewhere. And I really feel disillusioned by what the ANC has done. And hopefully there's another party that will come in and actually give what Mandela dreamed.
All right. And, yeah, Anthony, you've just reminded me of a moment. I mean, I'd almost forgotten about the yes or no vote in 1992. Anthony, feeling disillusioned, didn't get quite the outcome he voted for when he voted yes in 1992. I've got a couple of students who are with us in our mobile studio, Ria and Dylan. Welcome to 702 Breakfast. I want to talk to you. I mean, we're hearing about how young people are not interested in the political process. I mean, are you guys going to vote? Why aren't you going to vote if you're not? And what can political parties do to bring a message to you that will resonate with you, with your concerns?
Okay, well, I'm voting, but I think most people aren't voting because they feel like the vote will just be a drop in the ocean, right?
Yeah.
Because now we live in such a corrupt society, many people feel that.
So here's the thing, if people don't vote, why? What gives them the right to criticize the process then?
You see, that's why I'm voting. Like, I agree with you that if you're not going to vote, then you shouldn't have, like, criticized the process, because you're basically just speaking, but you're not doing anything. All bark, but no bite.
All right. So, what do you want to say, Ria?
I honestly think there's a lack of political research with regards to political research surveys, and in order for today's youth to voice their opinion, therefore, I'm extremely grateful to be on such a prestigious radio station. But I'd just like to say, I want to say this in the most diplomatic way. From what I've seen thus far, it's mostly uneducated people that think that by allowing any party with the majority of white politicians to come into power will result in apartheid being forced back in society once again. However, people
do you think
do not
that's the reason young people are not voting, because they've bought into the idea that say
not,
the
not
DA?
Young people. I would say it's more people like much more older than us.
So
and
why aren't
older
young people? That's what I want to know. Why aren't young people voting?
I think it's more the fact that young people are standing together and are much more united than older generations. I feel that...
They're united in not voting?
They're united and not voting. And I think in a way, it's also... they're subtly protesting, I would say, against this entire thing of ANC coming into power. Don't get me wrong, they're a fantastic party. But then again, I would say like... people do not realize that society and social media in today's day and age is almost impossible for white people to feel like they have a sense of superiority. And this is what the uneducated people fail to realize. I'm talking about people like from the villages. For example, like the ANC went to the villages and made promises to them. And that's why the ANC previously won, I believe. So what I'm trying to say is people need to realize that by allowing a political party with the majority of white people to come into power, it's not going to damage our country. It's, we all need to become united and become a whole and work together to make our country progress and not retrogress.
Right, those are two students here at WITS. Those are their perspective. Ria and Dylan, thank you very much for popping to our mobile studios here at WITS. I want to know from young people, why aren't you interested in voting? But if you are, like Dylan just said a moment ago, in fact, he says he is going to participate in the vote because he's got a stake in the outcome. And listen, there's a danger that we may not take the youth vote seriously because of some of the objections you've been hearing this morning. But what will it mean 5-10 years from now when the majority of the population don't feel that voting is something that's worth participating in? What will it mean? What kind of democracy will we have then?
702.
What's that Bongani on 072-702-1702.
Good morning, Bongani. I've been listening to the issue about the youth of South Africa, and it's so appalling hearing those comments. I study at the University of Johannesburg, currently studying towards my PhD, and I can tell you, Bongani, it's just the law of karma that is haunting the youth of this nation. How do you expect the older ones to look up or to respect and give credence to the youths when they know fully well that these youths are half-baked? Somebody has been pushed from primary up to the university level. I'm following the report of the Department of Higher Education that people spend 7 years to get their first degree. I'm not surprised to hear 7 years. 7 years is even a better time, considering the fact that people were pushed. People were pushed to get to this level of education. The problem must be sorted out at the basic education level, Bongani, if we really want to move South Africa forward. I'm just so disappointed.
Yeah, I mean, look... You. What does Wendy Williams say on her talk show? She says, can we talk? And that's really the question is, can we talk? Can we be honest? You have to appreciate that I can't, as a talk show host, invite people and then insult them, essentially, to their faces. But one of the things we've done this morning was to really make sure we're hearing from young people themselves. And we've heard some really startling points being made from those that have popped in voluntarily, a number of them, in terms of their reasoning, in terms of the arguments they've made this morning. I mean, does that give you an indication of what we're actually dealing with, right? If the arguments can be that, for example, the majority of people in villages are not going to vote because they've bought into the lie that white majority parties are going to bring back apartheid. I mean, that's one thing we heard today. We heard a laundry list of things that are wrong with the system and why young people feel disaffected. And at the end of that, somebody says, oh, but then I won't vote. I mean, the level of reasoning we've heard from some of the young people that have come forward this morning has been frankly disappointing. And is that part of the problem? And I really don't mean to insult anyone. I mean, I'll be speaking to a number of others who are still gathered outside our mobile van from which we're broadcasting this morning. But based on what you've heard today from the young people expressing themselves in their own words, what's concerning to them, how they feel in terms of where the country is going, are you just a little bit worried? Can we talk? Can we have that conversation? 011-883-0702. I'm afraid that WhatsApp voice note is spot on. I mean, if this is the best we can do in terms of framing our issues, we've got to be really, really concerned. But whose failure is that?
Breakfast with Bongani Bingwa, live from Wits University, listening to the voices of South Africa's young voters.
Absolutely. Listen, I think a lot of young people can take a leaf out of Naledi Pandor's book. She graduated with a PhD yesterday, and her supervisor, the Dean of the Faculty of Education at the University of Pretoria, says it was an honor to supervise her. He'd previously worked with her, in the Department of Education before it was split. And so he says, after I agreed to supervise her, she set the rules for the relationship. She said to me, now you're my professor, I'm your student, you will call me Naledi. ready and I will call you professor. And he said being her doctoral supervisor was not easy, especially in the early days of the relationship, because now he had to adjust calling somebody who'd once really be his superior at work by her first name. But what's extraordinary is how Naledi Pandor handled all of this. Not only did she attend classes, but she also came in person to register or even indeed renew her registration for her studies at the beginning of each year. This is a minister who's got an incredibly busy schedule, but she was a regular face and was often seen around the administration building. She came to defend her proposal, queuing with the other students outside the room, waiting for her turn, managed to defend her proposal in the first year of her studies, which was a remarkable achievement given her incredible schedule, as you would expect. And of course, yesterday she graduated with her PhD. Now, that's the kind of mindset we need, not only from our politicians, really, but from all South Africans. I think bravo to her. We're talking to young people. We're at Wits University. We're talking about their thoughts on this election, why so many of them are feeling like there are no political parties that are speaking to their issues. Let's quickly take Courtney. You're in Benoni, Courtney. Now, you say you're a born free, but you don't know who to vote for.
Yeah, so I was born in 1994 and I would really like to vote. But if I consider all of the political parties and what they've brought at the moment, every time the EFF is involved in something, it turns to a violent protest, which I don't want a party that always gets, or whichever they would like to, the opinions that they'd like to bring forward always result in ends in violence. I don't want that for myself. The DA at the moment is only focused on what the ANC is doing and who to ask in the ANC, and the ANC only shows up at election time. So,
but there are other parties, yeah. Courtney. There are the smaller parties. There's UDM, so, there's GOOD, there's COPE, there's ATM, yeah, there's ACM, all these smaller parties. You've got options?
Yeah, and so that's the only way that I've heard about the smaller options is by speaking to my parents and by speaking to people who are older than me, because at the end, the smaller parties don't have the resources to show what they're able to do or what they'd like to bring. And so the bigger parties is always what we'll focus on.
All right, Courtney in Benoni says that she doesn't feel like any party is speaking to them. Whose responsibility is it? Is it your responsibility as a voter to inform yourself about which party you want to vote for or could speak to your needs or issues? Or do you think the responsibility is on the political parties themselves to speak directly to young people? Let's speak to Warren. Warren, you say that political parties do represent young people. How do you answer Courtney's question then?
Look, political parties, you have to be very specific on which political parties represent interests, right? I'm more interested in political parties that will be youth-focused. We'll be looking at how young people are going to participate in the economy in the future. And look, the ruling party at the moment has not significantly shown a development in an empowering of young people, but I'd rather be interested in the alternatives, right? And the alternative is looking at how do you create the jobs for those who are not in academic spaces, and how do you empower those who are in academic spaces to express whatever it is that they've learned. And for me, the only party that has shown that is indeed the EFF that the lady said is a violence, right? The radical policies that it holds shows a greater interest in empowering these young people.
Yeah, but it's easy, Warren, to be radical and to make big promises when you don't have to implement them. Some people criticize the EFF for precisely that.
No, it's not true. I mean, the EFF comes with a leadership and its membership that is young, vibrant, creative, innovative, and has a sense of imagining of the future. Give it a chance and then judge it on its failures rather than judging it.
Let them take the country for a joyride based on what they're imagining versus what's real and what's possible. Warren, is that what you're saying?
No, it's not necessarily a situation where you say, is it possible? Like I said, the unfair critique that opposition parties generally get is on the idea that, look, there's comfort in seeing things in opposition, but you don't give them the chance to fully express those things, right? Once you've expressed those things, then you can then judge them. Now, the failures, right? Look at corruption, for example. When you speak on corruption, the major source of of proof of corruption to the ANC. And then they're going to judge the other parties on it being possibly like corrupt or could be corrupt in the structures in place. You're judging.
All right, Warren, I think you've made your point there. Warren says that give a party like the EFF, which he says has been bold in imagining a different South Africa, give them a chance. He says, as a young person, that's the party that speaks to him. We've got a couple of students who've come to our mobile van who've got views, and I want to ask them this morning, will you be voting? If so, why? If not, why not? Let's start with you, Beauty. Young people were told aren't interested in voting. 4.5 million of you guys will not be participating in this election. Will you?
No, I'm not voting.
Why aren't you voting?
Because I do not believe anything any of the political parties are saying. Really, if I do vote, it doesn't affect me in a positive way. So I'd rather not go than waste my time.
So you are, in a sense, excluding yourself then from what's going on. Other people are going to make decisions on your behalf. And you won't really have a legitimate complaint.
It really doesn't matter, because even if I do vote, it won't change anything or anything in my personal life.
So life will just carry on?
As normal.
All right. Nabila, you're a student here as well. Are you voting?
No, I'm not voting at all.
Why aren't you voting?
So I take international relations, right? And regarding all of that, regarding our state, I don't think that it makes any of a difference. I don't think that our state directly affects us. I don't think that they're doing anything for change. If you have to go now, they say your one vote makes a difference.
Yeah.
I personally don't feel like your one vote makes a difference. Because statistically, over the years, if you have to see it, if your one vote had made a difference, it probably would have by now. And personally, I don't see that. I don't see anything. I don't see our economy getting better. I don't see our climate getting better. We're not industrialized. We're still a third world country. I don't see any progress.
But all those situations have arisen because other people have been making the decisions on your behalf. And now you're sitting there saying, well, what difference does it make? It would make a difference if people... Imagine if everybody who prioritizes the things you prioritize decided to be part of the process, decided to put pressure on the politicians, decided to make them care in the way you care about climate change, about how this economy is functioning. Wouldn't that make a difference ultimately?
It would, but to me, to certain people, to other people, they are more worried about their personal lives, with their personal
duties.
Because
you people won't vote. You're letting them get away with it.
Because we don't see any reason to vote. There's no reason, there's no change that we will see. And even when we did vote for the ANC, when we tried, we said, okay, we're going to believe in this. They let us down. I don't need to be constantly let down.
All right. Nabila says she's not going to vote. Presley, you're a student here at Wits as well. Are you voting?
No, I'm not. Hey, I'd love to. But
are you even registered?
I am registered.
So you could still change your mind in the next 20 days?
I don't think I will, though, but I'm not going. I'm not going to vote.
Why aren't you voting?
Because you're literally putting someone to stay in Sandton. You're literally making someone to stay
but
in
Rockcliffe. But Presley, these guys are stealing your future. They're stealing your future. That's the thing. As a 45-year-old, that's the thing that scares me, is you're letting someone else steal your future.
But in as much as they are stealing your future and all that, it means you're also taking part in putting them into power so that they can continue doing whatever they are doing. No accountability. We see things, hey? We see things. And here in university, you literally have students who are in masters, students who are doing PhD, not because they want to, because they are frustrated and they want to continue being in university and all that,
yeah.
Employment.
I don't know. I'm a little despondent. Those are the views of young people, students here at Wits University, in their own words.